Mommy and Victoria and Grayson and Little Mermaid.
And the Little Mermaid Ariel. Today we're going to read a story called Polar Bear. Good. From the creators of Honeybee, winner of the Sibert Medal, by Candace Fleming and Eric Roman. Now, we're going to read this tonight. We're going to read this tonight because tomorrow we are going to go and go to a museum where we learn all about Arctic animals, animals that live in the Arctic. What's the Arctic, Bryson?
The Arctic is a very cold place where polar bears, penguins, and seals and walruses.
Good.
And those little unicorn things that are so cool.
Yeah, narwhals.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, very good listing of animals that live in the Arctic. So tomorrow we're going to go to a museum and we're going to see and learn about the Arctic. And so today we're going to read a story about the polar bear. Okay?
And something that is not
an Arctic animal.
An Arctic animal, it's very cold and it's very snowy.
Very cold, very snowy, snow all over the place, right?
Yes.
All right, so let's get started. Look, there's snow, snowy and snow. Okay.
Let's get started.
April in the Arctic. It is not like that. April in the Arctic, it is not like this in April where we live in Florida. Snow clouds still scuttle across the sky. Temperatures barely nudge above freezing, but every now and again the clouds part, the sun shines, and the frozen world stretches awake. A black nose pokes from a snowbank. Curious eyes blink in the brightness. It is a mother polar bear crawling from her den. Her den is her house where she lives. Seeing her world for the first time in 5 months, since before Christmas. She's been in this little den hibernating since before Christmas. For all that time she has been in the den, she dug beneath the snow, not eating, never leaving, surviving on her stored fat in her belly. And for the first month, she waited for her baby's birth. For the next 4, she nursed her baby. And she's a mammal, so how does she nurse her babies, Victoria? Bryson, thank you from boobies. Kept them safe and warm. They grew from 2 pounds to 22 pounds. They grew a lot in 4 months. From toothless to sharp-toothed. From downy-haired to densely furred. But as the babies got bigger, mother grew thinner. Now the cubs are ready to meet the outside world. And mother needs to go home to the ice to hunt and eat and survive. She drags herself from the cramped den. She shakes and stretches and rolls in the snow. Then she stands, scans the distance, sniffs the air. Is it safe? It is. She calls to her cubs. Polar bear. 2 little bears, 1 female, 1 male, tumble from the den. Bleeding and squealing, they scramble onto their mother. This new outside world is scary. Mother chuffs softly and nurses them in the sun. Soon they'll return to the familiar comfort of their den. But the next day, they venture out again, and the day after that, and the day after that. Mother is getting her cubs used to the outdoors, to the cold and the blowing snow. The cubs wrestle, they play. Their muscles get stronger. On the 7th day, mother's instinct tells her it's time. She nudges the cubs away from the only place they have known. One cub whimpers and the other squalls. Where are they going? Home to the ice. Mother knows the way by heart along a trail she took with her own mother, along a trail she took as a mother-to-be, along a trail her cubs will take when they are grown, across frozen ponds and slippery ridges and gullies filled with powder-fresh snow. Grown bears can walk 50 miles a day, but not babies. Their tiny legs tire quickly. Aroo! they cry. Mother stops and snuggles them in to nurse and nap, but soon they're walking again. Suddenly, Mother stops, sniffs, stands. Two wolves are circling for an attack. Mother grunts for the cubs to keep close. The wolves inch nearer. Aroo! Cry the babies. They are too small to run, and Mother will never leave them. Hissing, she rises up to her full height, all 7 feet of her. She is huge, fierce. She growls. The wolves stop, look, and lope away. That's the polar bear, Mommy. But Mother takes no chances. She keeps the babies moving, following her nose, following her instincts for 40 miles. And still, she has not eaten. On the 6th day of their journey, they come to the shore. Just like their mother, the cubs stop, sniff, stand. Their tiny nostrils fill with the scent of sea salt. It is the smell of the ice-covered Hudson Bay. It's the smell of home. The family heads out across the fractured ice, and Mother striding, the cubs slipping. The little ones sense a change in their mother. Her nose picks up every scent on the breeze. Her feet feel every vibration in the ice. Her ears hear the faintest of sounds. The cubs have never seen her act like this before. What is she looking for?
Food,
very good. Very good, Bryson. Yes. It is time for Mother to break her long, long fast. The ice is the polar bear's hunting ground, and springtime on the ice is the best time to catch her favorite meal. What do you think her favorite meal is?
Seals.
Seals, a ringed seal. Stop, sniff. Yes, Mother has found a seal's breathing hole. She stills, stiffens, listens. Seals must take a breath every 30 minutes. Why? Why do they have to breathe every 30 minutes?
Because they're mammals, and mammals have to breathe air. They have lungs.
Very good. They're mammals, and so they have to breathe. They have lungs instead of gills. Very good. So they have to come up for breath, and so they're going to have to come up for air. Mother waits. So does the female cub. She copies her mother, crouching, watching, getting her first lesson in hunting. Someday she'll grow up to feed cubs of her own. Huff! And look, you see the seals coming? Air puffs through the hole. Mother rises up, crashes down, smashes through snow and the ice-crusted dome of the breathing hole. Her claws grasp at nothing. Only 1 in 10 hunts succeed. Mother's stomach rumbles. No meal today. That's the paw. That's her paw coming through trying to get the seal, and she doesn't end up getting the seal.
If I don't get the seal, I'll just jump in the water and take the seal's neck off.
Hi. But over the next days and weeks, Mother hunts hard while the cubs watch and learn. They sniff where she sniffs. They look where she looks. They lie down and wait patiently when she stalks prey. Ah, they taste the reward of rich seal blubber. By the start of June, the bear family has moved far out onto the ice. The cubs are growing fast. Very fast. And Mother has gorged herself. She has regained much of her weight, but it's not enough. Soon, the bay's ice will melt into open water, and seals are almost impossible to catch in open water. Mother must fatten up now if she and the cubs are to survive summer's lean months. Already there are meltwater pools on the surface of the ice, and the late spring sun feels warmer than Mother remembers. It's always been hard to live on the ice. Unpredictable weather has made it even harder. Too much ice is melting too soon, and too little ice means too little food. Why does too little ice mean too little food?
Because in open water, it's hard to get them because they can swim more.
Right, because they can swim more and farther away. Mother moves the family to the edge of the ice in hopes of catching one last meal. Snap! The ice breaks off and is carried out. Mother stops, sniffs, stands. Nothing is familiar, not the smell of the air, not the feel of the ice. For the first time in her life, she does not know where she is. What's happened to the Arctic spring world she has always known? All she can see is water. All the way to the horizon. Mother's instinct tells her they must swim for shore. Adult bears can swim 60 miles nonstop, but not young cubs. Can they survive? They have no choice. Mother slips into the Arctic water. She calls to her cubs to follow. Under the golden glow of the 24-hour daylight, they swim and swim. An hour passes. 2, 3. The cubs struggle to keep up. They struggle to hold their heads above water. They cry and grab at their mother. Hungry, tired, cold. How much farther? 4 hours. 5. Mother lifts her nose. Oh, they look quite tired, don't they? 6. She sniffs the air. She smells land, even if she cannot see it. She circles around the cubs, nudging at them to keep swimming, but the cubs are cold, so cold. A shelf of ice suddenly looms before them. They have to climb, but the cubs cannot. Mother is tired too. Still, she pushes first one dripping cub from the sea and then the second. The cubs shiver on the ice. Mother presses them to her belly. They are too tired to nurse. They are too tired to cry. As mother's heat radiates through them, they fall asleep. It's July, and lakes that were frozen just days before suddenly teem with birds from the south. Is that what it's like in July for us?
No.
What's it like in July for us?
Freezing.
Super hot. Super hot for us.
Like what?
Wildflowers speckle the tundra. Insects buzz and bite. It's hard for polar bears to survive without ice. Mother lives mostly on her fat stores, and the baby live mostly on her milk. And still they grow. To conserve energy, they amble in the cool of early morning and late afternoon, rest at midday, sleep through the night. They are waiting for the return of the ice. They were waiting for home. But cubs will be cubs. They bite each other, cuff, roll around. They weigh almost 100 pounds now, but still act like babies. In September, the frost returns. Birds fly away. The days grow dark, and an early snow sweeps across the tundra. Mother knows it's time to meet the ice. They walk north along the coast in search of an early freeze. By mid-October, they are there. So are lots of other polar bears, waiting, all waiting, for solid ice to form and their home to return. Mother, like all the others, is eager to hunt. Slowly, skirts of ice form around boulders. A frozen skin spreads across the black water, but it's taking so long, too long. Mother knows this is in her genes. It's past time to return to the ice. Hunger gnaws at her. The layer of fat needed to sustain her cubs is disappearing. Summer has taken its toll, and she desperately needs seal blubber. She desperately needs to eat. Finally, a deep cold rolls in. Ice crystals form on the bay's surface. Tendrils of ice bind and solidify the water. Mother tests its thickness. Crack! Not yet. She nibbles on kelp, impatient, hungry, until at last. Hudson Bay in December is an unbroken white vista stretching to the horizon. Home. But the year-old cubs have never known the ice in winter. It is a time of slashing snow and whipping winds, of deep, deep cold, and 24-hour darkness. That's all day long. It's dark all day. So you never see the sun. You never see sun.
24 plus 24 is 48.
Very good.
So it would be like 48 hours.
48. Well, yes, but they're what they're saying is a 24-hour day is just every single, like from morning when you wake up till you go to bed, that you never see the sun. It's dark the whole time. Okay.
That's not 24.
Well, no, but they're saying you never have the sun. It's 24-hour darkness. It's dark all day, all night. All day and all night. It's dark the whole time.
So that would be like past midnight.
Yes. Like into the middle of the night, dark the whole time. You never see the sun at all.
Like you wouldn't be able to see anything.
Right, nothing. The first winter, they will stay close to their mother, hunting more, nursing less, growing in size and strength. Spring will return, and then summer, then fall, and then a second winter, and then the cubs will separate. First from their mother, then from each other, each bear will walk on, alone, beneath the Arctic sky, along familiar paths, at home, on the ice. So here's what a polar bear looks like. Look at that polar bear.
Can I read the thing?
Sure. What does it have here?
Let me do this one. Those polar bears have an excellent nose of smell. When swimming, the nostrils close up at night.
Close up tight. We have ears, claws, teeth, fur, tail, and paws. It's a lot of information about them. All right. Wow. So that's pretty cool. So we're going to see some stuff about polar bears tomorrow. And more about Arctic animals. So thank you for joining us. Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.